Turn, if you will, in your Bibles today to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And you know, we were talking about how God guides and God leads our lives. And our son's gone back to mission field over in East Asia. And he, if you got his report, they were having a meeting and the police were knocking on the doors. And they would have been arrested and put in the jail and probably deported or worse. But the landlord stepped in, and when they got there, talked to the policeman, and they never checked the apartment. They went on upstairs and checked the others. And that's just God. And that's just God, folks. Praise the Lord. John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. Then in the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called a twin, one of the twelves, was not with them when Jesus came. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we realize as we read the Word, unless the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today, we will not understand this passage of Scripture and what you have to say. Lord, I just ask you to speak through me. May I be emptied of all of self, and that the Holy Spirit just flood our hearts, that we might open up the eyes of our understanding, Lord, and receive the word that you would have for us. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. There's no better place than actually to be in the hands of Jesus Christ. You see, the hands are a marvelous thing. What we do with our hands is up to us. I stand amazed sometimes when I think about the hands of Jesus, and I think about the hands that he has given us to use for his glory, for his kingdom. You know, a hand is used in many different ways in the Bible. It's spoken of 1,433 times. I went through and counted all of them. You believe that, you believe anything. But there's many different ways the hands are used in the Bible. And the chief use or symbol is the power of God. We sing there is power, power, wonder-working power. And we sing that old song years ago, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And what a marvelous thing it is this morning to have your life in Jesus Christ. Now, there's some of you here that may not be in Christ. Your life has never been given to God. You're not in the center of his will. You're not in his hand as of yet. But the Bible says that by faith we can ask him and put our faith in him, and he will take us in the palm of his hands. The hands are used many times. One is the power of God. The other is the partnership when we speak of hands. You see, our right hand, or Jesus seated at the seating at the right hand of God. And you know, we talk about partnership. I used to have a brother. He was my, I call him my right-hand man. We were partners in our business, and he was always there with me. Folks, I think of hands, I think about the goodness and the righteousness of God. In Psalm 24, 3 and 4, it says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of God?" And then he answers that question, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." So we see that the hands are used as a power of God and a partnership of God. And then we saw last week or week before, same come to join the church, and we extended them what? The right hand of Christian fellowship. You see, we talk about hands, we talk about the fellowship that we have with God. Likewise, the hand is a symbol of good, but it's also a symbol of evil. Proverbs verse 6, it says, "List seven things that God hates, and it's hands that shed innocent blood." You see, our hands are used in many ways, and in the Bible, it's used many, many times. Now, our scripture says, the first Sunday after Jesus' death, he appears in our scripture here with his disciples in the upper room there. He didn't need a door. He just comes right into their midst. What a beautiful resurrection story we have. And we'll see that in a couple of weeks, because we'll be celebrating Easter. What a service it was. Think about it. When he and his disciples, he had shown himself. When they saw the Lord, they began to ask him questions. Wouldn't it be something if we were sitting here right now and there was Jesus standing in our midst? Some would be afraid, some would be glad, and you know, that's his way he does. But that day it was a beautiful service. But you know what? The Bible tells us somebody was missing, wasn't it? Old Thomas was not there that day. And oh, what he missed out on by not being in the Lord's house that day. He missed the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. He missed the filling of the Holy Spirit upon their life, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He also missed the peace of Christ that day. Two times in this passage of scripture, God says, "Peace be with you." You see, he missed that peace of God in his life. When you miss being in God's service, you miss something. Those that are not here this morning, they're missing a blessing. They don't realize that Jesus Christ gives us the peace that we need in the world. Not only that, the power that we need in the world. In our lives, he's our strength. Man, if you don't have the power of God in your life, there's going to be something missing in your life. And then we need the presence of God in our life. The presence, the power, and the peace of God that rules our hearts and makes us happy and joyful. All of these brothers, they were trying to live for Jesus Christ, and they couldn't do it until God gave them the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their life. And old Thomas, he missed out on that day. You see, when we don't live for Christ, we don't do what Christ wants us to do, we're not in the place that God wants us to be, we miss out on something. Oh, how happy it is when we're in the hands of our Lord and Savior, doing his perfect will in our life. So today, I want us to look at some things about the hands of Jesus. First thing I want us to look at is the scars in the hands. His hands had scars in them. Hundreds of years before the crucifixion was established, God said through his servant David, they pierced my hands and feet. And when we look at the newborn babes, have you ever thought about a baby's hands? You look at those little hands. Oh, every little finger, every little joint, it's just a marvelous thing to look at. And today when we think of Jesus Christ, we look at how he used his hands. We look at how he used his feet. He grew up, what, in a carpenter shop. He grew up, those hands held that hammer. Those hands not only held the hammer and built things, those hands held the scrolls of those days and the scriptures in those days. Those hands that were carpenters were pressed together in prayer. Those hands were praying hands to the Father. And he touched the eyes of the sick. He touched the mouths of the mute. He touched the lepers' bodies with those hands. And yet they were scarred hands, because the Bible says we threw him upon a cross and we nailed those nails in his hands. Those hands were there because he died for you and I. And we put those scars in his hands. Someone says that is the only thing that be in heaven that man made, in those scars. And there, those hands are eternal reminder, folks, of the awful depths of sin in a man's heart and a man's life. We look at our world today, and we look at what's going on in our world today, and tragedy upon every hand. I look at the school shootings. I look at the mother killing their children. I look at the father killing their wives. And man, our world, I see, is in a mess. But it reminds me, not only that, the awesome sin of this world, it reminds me, you know what? It's always been that way, because we took our Lord and Savior, who had no sin, who did no harm to anyone, only helped the world, and we nailed him to a cross. Not only do I see the scars in his hands, I see the word saved in his hands. In Isaiah 49:16 is a picture of the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. And in verse 8 it says, in the day of salvation, he says, I have helped you. And then in verse 16 it says, behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. Now think about that, saved. I'm so glad of salvation. Folks, let me tell you something. In 1975, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I asked him to come into my life. It changed my life. I wasn't the same anymore. God changed my direction in life. He changed everything about my life. And my name has been inscribed on the palm of his hand. You see, I'm so glad salvation is from God. And I'm so glad that he had those nails driven in his hands for my sake and your sake, that we might have eternal life. You see, Baptist doesn't save a person. Methodist doesn't save a person. Catholic does not save a person. Pentecostal does not save a person. It's through Jesus Christ that saves a person, and his blood, and my relationship that I have. Now, I'm Baptist because I believe in Baptist doctrine. But that didn't save me, folks. It was a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that my name is written in his hands. Those same hands that touched the blind, those same hands that opened the ears and eyes of people in his day, opened the eyes of my heart, that I might understand what salvation was. And I realized in my life that I needed Christ. I prayed when we started off, Lord, open our eyes that we might see our need for you in our life. And folks, we need it, don't we? There's not a day goes by that I don't do something wrong and I need to be forgiven for it. Man, I'm so glad he provided that way. Everybody else saw the world like, get away from me, like the lepers. But Jesus says, no, you come to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And with his hands, he says, come to me. Come to me. Let me inscribe your name in the palm of my hand. I love that old song, he touched me. He touched me and made me whole. So when I think about the hands, I see the scars in his hands, and I see the saved in his hands. And then there's something else that I see. Sheep. Sheep. I thank God that when he touched me, he didn't say, Byron, this old world's tough. I sure hope you can make it. No, he didn't do that at all, does he? You see, he calls us his sheep. I am the shepherd, you are my sheep. Sheep are no match, folks, for the wolves in life. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish, and nothing and no one shall what? Snatch them out of my hand. As one of his sheep, I'm in his hand. As one of his sheep, I am secure. As one of his sheep, the old devil has no power in my life. If I lived in my strength, I would fall so short. But in Christ's strength, I will never fall away from the fold. I'm his, and he's mine. Nothing I can do will ever change that. I am imprinted on his hands. He's got me in the center of his hands. And nothing, he says, shall pluck you out of my hand. Now, folks, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Christ, if you have a relationship with him, those scars are for you. He loves you. He died for you. What else can he do for you? There's nothing else needs to be done except you come to him. You see, that's what he's waiting on. He said, listen, come all who thirst. Come. How clear did he have to make it? Talked to a man this week. He said, I have no need for church. I have no need for Jesus. And I said, at your age, you're fixing to. He said, what? I said, at your age, you're fixing to need Jesus, or you're fixing to meet him. And I left him with that thought. Where are you going to spend eternity? He said, I have no need for church. I have no need for Jesus in my life. And I said, well, you know, God, I told him about you. I pray that he'll wake up one day. Because, you know, we need Jesus Christ in our life. I see people every day that's going through trials and troubles. I don't know how they're going to make it without Jesus in their life. I don't know how I would make it. Man, I tell you, Miss Joanne lost her mother, 99. I don't know how she would make it if she didn't know the Lord like she does. Man, I've watched people in our church pass away over and over and over and over, and I don't know how their families make it without God in their life. And let me tell you something. When God's not in their life, they don't make it. But with God in their life, You know, it's a sorrowful time when we lose a loved one, but it's also a celebration because she's no longer in that nursing home. No, she's with Christ now. Man, she's alive, more alive than we are here on earth. And folks, that's what Jesus promises in his word. He said, I've got you in my hands. You're mine. Not only do I see the scars, and do I see the saved, and do I see the sheep, I see the sword. Listen to what it says in Joshua 5, 13. Christians are called warriors. Did you know you're a warrior for God? Somebody said, are you in this service? I said, amen, brother. I've been in the service since 1975. Huh? I said, that's when I was saved. And I've been at war with the devil ever since. The battle is on. Now, Jesus don't want us to join the army and just protect us from the wolves. No. What does he do? He says, go out. Go out. You know the reason he anointed them with the Holy Spirit's power? So they could go out. And they could go out and heal people. They could go out and forgive sins. You see? Joshua became a leader. I like the Old Testament. Here's a story. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you're next, brother. I want you to lead these rowdy group of people that are my children into the promised land. But Lord, Moses is dead. I was just his servant. Well, you're my servant now, Joshua. Boy, that's a lot of weight put on a man's shoulders all at once. Amen or oh me? That would be like becoming a Baptist pastor. You'll catch that after a while. There he was. You know what he did? He took a walk. He took a walk. Man, I tell you, you need to take a walk every once in a while. He took a walk to get alone. He took a walk and he got alone with God. And in that walk, he began to talk to God and he saw an angel of the Lord. Amen. Here's Jericho, one of the first cities. Man, it had a great wall around it. Man's power, there was no way that this ragtag group of people were going to take Jericho. But God said, Joshua, I want you to take Jericho. Boy, he's not even a military leader. And he says, the captain of the Lord of hosts will be with you. I'll tell you what to do, Joshua. Oh, what we get when we talk to God. You see, how much power he gives us in his life. He takes the word of God, and he does with the word of God what God wants him to do, and he begins to march around that city. It seemed ridiculous. I imagine the people inside of the Jericho walls looked at him and said, what in the world do they think they're going to do? Every day, get out there and walk around that city. Every day. Same old thing. But on the seventh day, God had a surprise. The walls came tumbling down. And they were defeated, and God's army won. You see, Joshua did just what the Lord told him to do. He took the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, and he used that to win the victory. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God daily in our life. Folks, you can't do that unless you walk closely with the Lord and have him on your mind and conscience, serving him, thinking about him. Take that word. You see, it's with the word of God that Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. It was with the word of God that David faced Goliath and defeated Goliath. And when the Satan comes up against us and he tempts us, we'll have the Word of God in our heart and in our lives, the sword, that we'll be able to stand firm, it says, in that evil day. Stand upon the promises of God. How do you do that? Man, you read it, you love it, and you live it. Every single day, read it, love it, and live it in your life. And someday we'll find ourselves in the presence of a living God, and we'll be glad we did. Brother Perry says something that I really believe is so true. People, when we witness to people, when we live our life, they'll ask us, what if there's not a God when you die? And I don't know if I'll get this exactly the way he says it, but like he said, if I live my life for God, if I live for what the Bible tells us, and I love people, I share with people, I help people, when I die, I've lived a good life. If there's no God, I still lived a good life. But if you live a life that is against God, against His Word, and you die and you find out there is a heaven and there is a hell, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. Folks, there is a God in heaven. There is a God because I know Him personally. He walks with me. He talks with me. His name is Jesus. Let me just tell you, Perry asked something about in our class this morning, what has God done for you lately? Something like that. I wanted to say, well, I kept my mouth shut because let others speak because I have an hour to preach. An hour, I said. I wanted to say, Brother Perry, it would take a book to tell you all the things that God has done in Rhonda and my life since we've been saved. It would take a whole book. I'm not sure we could get it all down then. But just the other day, I had a doctor's appointment. Mr. Laverne can witness this. I had a doctor's appointment at 4:45. They had a wreck down here at the red light. Traffic in Gun Barrel is worse than Dallas. I don't know where all these people come from. But the traffic was backed up probably all the way to the corner and around the corner. I was at the house at 20 till. I said, I can make it there in 5 minutes. I drove out, drove up that road, and I said, oh, no. Nobody's going to let you in. You're just fooling yourself. I said, well, I'll come to the church and get in. I came to the church the same way, traffic. I drove down here. I said, you know what? I might as well try to get out in there. I said, Lord, I got to make it over in about 2 minutes. Can you let me in this place? Drove up there to that stop sign, and there's a little lady, sweet little lady. I don't know what her name was, but precious lady, because she said, I said, thank you, Lord. Drove in front of her. That might have been the Lord's wife. You know, I drove in front of her, and then you got to get over a lane. Now, that's impossible, right? Between there and there. It's about three houses down for the chiropractor clinic where I was going. And I looked over beside me, and there's another sweet little lady, Laverne McPherson. She's in a black pickup. I do not recognize the black pickup because they just got it. But I just prayed, Lord, I need in that lane. And I looked over there, and it was Laverne. Honk, honk, roll out my window. Would you stop and let me get over? She said, sure, preacher. I was in there. Man, you don't think God was concerned about that? Some of you probably thinking, oh, that's just ridiculous. No, it's God. Folks, it's all God. He is concerned about every little thing in your life. I believe that. If I didn't, I'd just quit now. Everything in your life, whether it's going to the doctor or going to the animal clinic or whatever, God is concerned with you. I don't want to ever leave the house without God. You see? Then the next thing I see, and I'll be through in just about 40 more minutes. I see the scars. I see the saved. I see the sheep. I see the sword. And then I see the saints and the sinners. Now listen, Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus is not only our Savior, but our example. And when he gave up the Spirit on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Death to the believer. To the believer is giving ourselves into the hands of God on the other side. You see, we're always in his hands. From the moment we're saved, he takes you in his hands, and you live that life in the center of his hands, in the will of God. Everywhere I go, he's there holding me. You know, I've been in places that I didn't think I was going to get out. And I just said, God, if it's a time for me to go, I'm all right with that. And when it comes that time for me to go, death will be giving over to eternal life on the other side. I believe with all my heart, the moment I draw my last breath here, I'll open my eyes in heaven. I love the story of the woman. She was on a ship out in the ocean, and there was a storm come up. And in that ship, she was like Christ. There was such a deep peace in her life. This boat was about to sink. It was a bad storm, and the lady with her says, how in the world can you rest in a peace like this when there's such a storm raging that we might be lost? And she looked at the lady and said, you know, years ago, I put my life in God's hands. Years ago, the roommate looked at her and says, if she meant the ship would not sink. And she says, no, I don't mean that the ship may not sink, but if we go down, my life is still in the hands of God, because the Bible says the bottom of the sea is even in his hands. Psalm 40, verse 12. Folks, death cannot take you from his hand. Think about that. And then I see the sinners in his hand. If you're here today and you're lost without Christ, Hebrews 10:31. There was a great message years ago. Jonathan Edwards preached, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He preached that message so under conviction, the Holy Spirit moved in that place, that people were getting saved right and left because such fear came over them. Being in the hands of an angry God. And if we reject Jesus Christ this morning, and you do not know salvation, You will not find it anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. And what awaits you at death's moment is a fearful judgment and a fiery indignation that will devour the enemies of God. And you will spend your life, the Bible says, in hell forever. Now you're going to live in one of two places, in eternity in heaven, or for an eternity in a place called hell. It's a dreadful, dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God without knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. You see, there's a man in the Bible says that Pilate tried to wash his hands of the blood of Jesus, but no water could wash that blood off of his hands. How were the scars put into his hands? Through you and I. Our sins drove those nails there. He loved you so much, He was willing to die on the cross for you. He still loves you, and He's calling you, come. Come to Me. What will you do when you stand before a holy God? Will you show your hands and say, Lord, I've served You all the days of my life. See all the calluses on these hands? And He'll say, depart from Me. I never knew You. Service will not save you, folks. Some people think because they join a church and they serve in church, that's going to save them. It will not. The old hymn says, is your soul burdened down with a load of sin? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hands. Throw your heart open wide. Let the Savior in. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. The only thing that's going to save you is if you give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. And that means giving your whole life. Place your life in the hands of Jesus, those scarred hands. For the saved, for the sheep, for the sword, for the saints, and for the sinner. They're there. He says, will you come to Me? If you'll come to Me, I will in no wise cast you out. I know where I'm going when I die. I don't have to worry about that. I made it right in 1975. Name was written in the palm of His hand. Saved. Saved. Do you know Him this morning? Maybe you know Him, and you haven't been walking according to His will. Folks, if you're not walking according to His will, you're missing the best part of life that He's got for you. You see, He said, I came that you might have joy and have life and have it abundantly. And you can't have that if you're outside the will of God. Oh, I was happy doing what I was doing in 1976, 77, 78. But God called me to preach, and I could no longer do that. I didn't really like people. That's the truth. Teddy said he couldn't stand up and speak to people. Well, I really didn't like that many people. I kind of liked being alone. But God said, no, I'm going to change you. And now I love you. I love people. I love that old sinner I talked to this week. I would have told him about Jesus Christ. Boy, let me tell you something. On the way there, God said, you tell him about Jesus. And I said, Lord, I don't want to. I know he's ugly and he's mean and he cusses. And God said, you tell him about me. Boy, I told him about him. And the Lord told me on the way home, said, that's all I ask you to do. You did enough. I'll take care of the rest. It's in his hands now, not mine. But I won't be held accountable for his blood on my hands. That's all I ask you to do, folks. Just tell about Jesus and what he's done for you. If you're not doing that, then you need to come and say, Lord, today I want to get things right. I want to get in the center of your will. I want to start telling people about Jesus Christ. For we don't have long. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home. This is the place God's led you. You like it. God loves you. I tell you what. I love you and I'll treat you just like I do everybody else as a family. If you led to join the church, you do that. You'll be in the center of God's will and everything will be fine. That is if God leads you. But if he doesn't lead you, then don't come. Because both of us will be miserable. Come for salvation. Come for salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these people. And Lord, I know you love them. Lord, reveal to our hearts what you want us to do, that we'll make the right decision. And let us be obedient to do that. And we'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.